afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, I think. Yes,
yeah,
he's
yeah.
here.
Yep.
Not sure I want him here, though. No, I'm just kidding. But he's joining me, taking the time out to join me as Dave is on holiday for the week. He'll be back on Monday. And so, again, I am happy to have Pastor Butch joining me today and for the week as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Wednesday, September 30th, 2020. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. It's a beautiful day here in the hills of West Virginia, and I'm tickled to be with you. Thank you.
It is. It's a beautiful day here on the eastern shore of Maryland. We do have Wendy Wilson joining us here for the first segment of the program today. And so let me go ahead and get started. And we'll begin by the market report. Gold today, it did try to stay above 1900 for the early part of the day. Right now in the New York spot price aftermarket, we're at 1887, down 11 bucks. Silver is 23.32, at down 96, almost a buck, almost 4%. Platinum was up $6 at 895. Palladium was down 6 at 2359. And it's interesting, we had a much weaker dollar today, but it climbed back a little bit, down just 0.4 at 93.83. So that was the biggest culprit today with the impact on gold today, I believe. Crude oil was up 72 cents at 40.01. And, of course, the markets have just pretty much brushed off any impacts from the, I don't know what you want to call it, the debate last night. So the Dow was up 329 points at 27,781. And again, I don't think the markets are any reflection of our economy, and it isn't any reflection anymore, or the presidency isn't a reflection on the stock market anymore. So it's because everybody knows it's all geared by the Federal Reserve. Jerome Powell is going to be there. There's not going to be any changes. They know there's going to be stimulus coming from both sides. So what do the markets have to worry about? Nothing yet. NASDAQ was up 82 points, 11,167. Did I say the Dow up 329 at 27,781?
Yes,
the S&P was up 27. I thought I did, but I just, with those numbers, I wanted to repeat it. The S&P was up 27 at 3,363. 10-year yield pop 0.03 at 68.68. Future contracts for gold looked a little bit better than New York spot price aftermarket. We're looking at the December contract at 1892, so it did a little bit better there on that contract. Silver wasn't that much better, but anyway, so we'll talk about these markets, and we're going to talk about the debate. The second segment of the program today. Our first one, we have Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melanie, and hello, Pastor Butch.
Hello, Wendy. How you doing today?
I'm all right. I know that debate was something. Well, it's a little frustrating for me to watch it, but anyway.
I watched what I could before I lost the supper, but anyway, go ahead.
All right. Well, I thought I'd give you guys the chance to choose the topic today. Don't get used to it, though. One is the title Soft Robots, and the other one is Diabetic Drugs That Affect Your Brain. Which one do you want to do?
What's your program? You go
I'm
ahead
always
on that.
I'm always interested in the brain.
Okay, well, we'll do that. All right, so we're talking about, you know, diabetic medicines, and there's a lot of them out there. A lot of times they're prescribed, and none of these drugs really have had any long-term testing to be said, you know, in clinical trials. So a lot of the patients, you know, are living with changes, and some of them can affect their independence, their ability to live independently. So we're going to take a look. Metformin is a popular type 2 diabetic drug used for type 2 diabetes, introduced by the French physician Jean Steen in the 1950s. The drug was approved for the European market in 1957, and later it did hit the U.S. market in 1995. So metformin was originally banned from the United States in 1977, and other countries like Australia also regarded the drug to need strict restrictions. quote. That's a quote. So what might have caused the withdrawal of this drug from some countries? And perhaps it was metformin was originally designed to treat influenza and anti-malarial type of infections in the 1940s. And what they happened to notice is when people were taking the drug, it sometimes would lower their blood glucose in patients. So the drug companies decided, hey, let's just change the name and market it as a diabetes med. So the recall, there was a recall June 2020 on metformin. It was actually recalled by the maker, Apotex, it's making the drug, due to it got contaminated with high levels of N-nitrosodimethylene, which is NDMA for short, and it's a carcinogen. So for this reason, some U.S. physicians now will not prescribe this drug. Some of the side effects that are published on the metformin, your typical things like nausea, vomiting, stomach problems, which could lead to lactic acidosis, diarrhea, weakness, a metallic taste in the mouth, low blood sugar, high blood sugar or hyperglycemia, sweating, shaking, fast heartbeat, hunger, thirst, blurred vision, dizziness, tingling of the extremities, increased urination, confusion, drowsiness, a flushed look, rapid breathing, a fruity breath odor. That's really serious. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but if anybody has a fruity odor to their breath, it indicates liver damage. And also allergic reactions like rash, itching, swelling of the face, tongue, and throat. Some of the side effects for males taking metformin would be it reduces their testosterone levels and also reduces their sex drive and also causes erectile dysfunction. Okay. Some of the other side effects that patients that are taking the drugs, if they have kidney issues, they really shouldn't be taking metformin as it can create what is called a buildup of lactic acids and cause the acidosis. And there is also some question as to the drug increasing the risk of blindness. Now, diabetic people are already at a higher risk of blindness, but in animal trials for the drug, it seemed to create blocks leading to the eye creating uveitis, which is a blockage of the iris and creating a lot of inflammation. So that's what happened in the animal trials of the drug. But let's get to this new study real quickly. This was by the Garvan Institute of Medical Research in Australia's, it's a biomedical facility in Sydney, New South Wales, and they wanted to see if the metformin does cause memory failure or dementia. And they conducted a six-year study on Australians with type 2 diabetes. They compared 70 and 80-year-olds with and without diabetes and those taking and not taking this metformin drug. The research did get published in the September 2020 Journal of Diabetes Care. According to Catherine Samaras, she's a professor at Garvan Institute, she said, "We have revealed a new potential of a widely used medication which could be life-changing for patients at risk for dementia and their families." So the scientific medicine describes type 2 diabetes as, you know, the body's no longer able to produce enough insulin, affecting glucose levels. So those that were taking the metformin had higher dementia risk, whereas some studies reported the medication slowed the risk as well as prevented things like cancer, heart attacks, and even managed their weight better. So apparently, this new study is revealing you're at a higher risk of developing dementia while taking the medicine. The CDC is reporting, get this, from 1980 to 2007, the confirmed diabetic cases in America tripled from 5.6 million to 17.4 million. And they also estimated 57 million Americans aged 20 and older were at risk of developing type 2 diabetes. Now, the overall risk of death among diabetics is twice that of people who do not have diabetes. Being diabetic means you're going to have complications like vascular diseases, neuropathy, coronary artery disease, and so forth. There was this online publication called Diabetes in Control, and they reported on some scientific research that provided evidence that vaccines increase the risk of developing type 2 diabetes by 50%. So modern medicine is witnessing this explosion in diabetic diseases and claiming it's really from the patient's faulty organs or their genetics or their diet. And in some cases, that may be true. But the peer review research says the cause may, many instances, is really from the medicine treatment itself of vaccines. And this is why you see this big explosion of type 2 diabetes with children, too. Any questions?
No, I wondered about that, you know, because so many children have diabetes anymore. And, you know, it's just, you know,
it is
the same way with cancer, too.
Well,
there's so many children with cancer.
Did I hear you say that vaccines can cause diabetes?
Yeah, yeah. It increases the risk of type 2 diabetes by 50%, according to an article published in the Diabetes in Control.
That's not right out of mainline news, is it?
No, it's not. Well, and here's the thing. It's not news, new news, actually. A lot of statistics out there have been proving this, as well as a researcher, Dr. J. Bartholomew Clausen. He actually published lots of research reports. April 8th, 2008, it was published in the Open Endocrinology Journal. And then he had other research published in the Molecule and Genetic Medicine Journal, May 12th, 2014. And his research shows 13 years of research in this area. And many doctors, you know, have read these reports, but you know, little has changed. According to his report, he says, quote, convincing evidence that a rapid increase in the number of vaccines given to U.S. children has now created a state of immune overload in a majority of patients and is being manifested by epidemics of diabetes, obesity, and autism. Now, I've also reported on pediatricians say before 1980, there was no autism. It wasn't that doctors got better at detecting it. It just didn't exist. So there was the shift after 1980 in the way they made serums and added the adjuvants and increased the number of vaccines that children were getting. Yep.
Wow.
Okay. Also, Clausen goes on to say his report provides a review of the evidence that the vaccines are causing epidemics of insulin-dependent diabetes type 1, obesity, and non-insulin-dependent diabetes type 2. And I've read all the reports by other scientists that said it's really not the glucose, the insulin at all. It's the vaccines are injuring your cells and are impairing the way that the sugar flows through the cell. So that's, you're getting genetic damage from the vaccines, and they're doing that to your cells, and it inhibits the flow of the glucose.
Well, you know, Wendy, you said something there that I didn't know, and it's really interesting. According to the VA, Agent Orange killed my pancreas. But now that you mentioned vaccines, when you go in the military, they really cram you full of vaccines.
They do.
So that may have been a big part of it, or all of it. I don't know, but I just know that becoming diabetic with my pancreas was destroyed not too long after I got out of the military. And they said Agent Orange did it, but it could have also been the vaccines.
Yeah. It could have been.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I've read some reports from a lot of Army physicians that in 1945 and moving forward, they've noticed celiac's disease. You know, they found it in recruits coming in. And they thought it was strange. This is nothing that, you know, is slowly evolving. This just kind of, bam, happened. And they traced it back. These doctors traced it back to the genetic modification of the wheat berry causing, you know,
yes,
gluten intolerance.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, wow. I mean, well, here, there's plenty of studies, though. This is Evidence-Based Complementary and Alternative Medicine Journal. They said garlic helps in the vascular disease area as well as through with diabetes. So garlic was mentioned in many, many studies. The Department of Biological Science at Kuwait University also mentions it, that definitely has power over your serum lipids, lowers your blood pressure and your high and cholesterol, but it also helps with diabetes and prevents arterial sclerosis. So another study in the research of Unic in Limburg, Netherlands, says the same thing. So a lot of studies confirming garlic very beneficial in regards to even and all the aging processes our body goes through. And also they say it prohibits cancer. Garlic does.
Keeps away vampires, too.
Yeah.
Here at our ministry, we offer two products, and I take both of them. Cartivite, which is loaded with garlic, and also Strauss Heart Drops with garlic, and they're fantastic products, so kidney support and heart drops. So I do take them all. I'd like to think it's benefiting some of the situations I have, because overall, by the grace of God, I feel pretty good. I know the products are making a difference in the way I feel, because before I started taking them, I noticed tingling in my toes. That's went away. Mm-hmm. So all these things have changed over the last several months.
Yeah, well, when you get that peripheral neuropathy where you get that numbness and tingling in the extremities, it's really because the circulation's not getting to the smaller capillaries where the nerve endings are, and they're kind of complaining. And you may be interested in this. This research, Cayenne improves circulation, and when it does, it also has hormonal communications. It improves the hormonal communications from your endocrine organs. Of course, that would mean your pancreas is one, but you don't have that now. But also, it helps move blood. So if your blood is laden with too much fat, it helps move it along. Garlic is a natural blood thinner, so a lot of times naturalists will combine your garlic and your cayenne, like you see in your heart drops there. Also, female herbs like Don Quai root also help the endocrine system. So we've got male and female endocrine system herbs out there that are also very beneficial, especially with diabetes and overall hormonal balancing. Because what you're looking at is plant-based nutrition that feeds the endocrine system that's responsible for making the hormones, so it makes the right amount for you. So there's really not any of this modern medicine trying to control your hormones, because they're giving you artificial ones, which is really very difficult to balance hormones, and a lot of times they just don't get it right, and people have a lot of side effects. So a lot of times, too, diabetes is all about, too, what we're eating. A lot of diabetics aren't really coached on what they should avoid. And in a lot of instances, if you got diabetes and the pancreas is involved, and it's not just the cells that are not flowing through the glucose, it's an overworked and exhausted gland. So you want to not stress it with more sugar. So a lot of diabetics take their insulin, but also eat a lot of sugar. So
you have to watch
there.
You have to watch your diet 24/7. My last test was a 6.0, which I thought was pretty good for a diabetic. I've been 20 some years, you know, it's never been higher than 6.4. So I watching my diet and being careful what I eat has made a huge difference. You know, if you run into fives, you're normal. So 6.0 is not too far out of line.
Yeah, and a lot of diabetics, you know, before they even go on dialysis, their doctors are wanting them to do what I call blood transfusions, and that's kind of scary for some folks. And beet juice, we've used beet juice to rebuild the blood system in 24 hours. Raw beets, juice them, drink the juice only, and it rebuilds that blood system. It's the minerals that feed the bone marrow, which makes your blood for you. Yep.
All right. Interesting stuff.
Yeah, well,
don't they also lower these numbers, the AC1 or A1C. What it is? I mean, didn't it used to be like it had to be in the sevens, and then he lowered it to the fives.
Well, they did that with blood pressure too.
Yeah,
you know,
So, what is the right number?
Blood pressure and cholesterol. It's like put more people on drugs. used to be cholesterol could be 300. Be okay.
Oh, well, the right number for A1C is what then?
A1C, okay, it's fixed.
Okay.
I think we're at the time, though.
We are.
866-229-3663, the Power Herbs. We'll talk next week.
Thank you, Wendy. See you then. We'll be right back, folks.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. We may as well get to it, Butch, and get it over with.
Well, before I do that, I will make mention of something. I was talking about yesterday at the new memory. I talked about the problems they had with different features that hospitals were being hit and all this with the internet. Well, Apple had a problem. They had 3-hour service outage on iCloud and Apple TV, right, and Apple Music, all with actually U.S. and Europe. But you remember yesterday I was talking about that, and all of a sudden I went off the air?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, that's how quick it can happen, people. And mine was a power blurp that went off. But it can happen just that quickly, Melody. We got to understand that these electronic devices are not totally dependable. The least little malfunction somewhere, and you're off. And if it's off for days, or God forbid, months, what will these people do that run hospitals and run businesses? They can't even add and subtract anymore without electronics. So what will they do? That's a fair question, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, very fair question. I mean, what would happen if this went down and stayed down for a while? People need to think about these things, because one day if this happens, oh gosh, it'll be a total chaos. And before we get to the debate, I gotta say this: America has hit a new federal debt spending record of $6 trillion, and that's not counting September. This is the end of the fiscal year, so not counting September yet. So we're probably talking, I don't know how many $1 trillion it's going to be, but so another record debt, $6 trillion. There's no way that the whole world could pay that back. There's just no way. And we're not counting the trillions of dollars out there, the worldwide debt. So let's move on from that. But I just had to share that. We're spending like there's no end to the finances, like everything's going to be just fine. We can buy our way out of debt. But I've never found a way yet to pay my way out, to buy my way out of debt by going further in debt. Have you?
No, but this is the sign that shows when things are coming to an end.
Yes, it is.
Is uncontrollable spending. It doesn't matter. When I worked with the savings and loan, I mean, it was just like a free-for-all. I mean, everybody was, money was to be had. Things were crazy, buying up branches and even, no disrespect to Donald Trump, I'm just saying this, all his businesses that failed, what did he do? He went in there, plowed a lot of money into things. They failed. He leaves. Our country's the same. Government has thrown money at all our problems for how many years? And it's kept it going. And it shows that we're close to the end of this.
Yes, it does.
Of this end of this. The corruption, the accountability of our finances, the recklessness of the politicians, and I don't care what politician it is. It's all of them.
Yes, it is.
Both
it
sides.
Is.
To the top.
It is. I have known individuals who are going under.
It is coming to an end. We just don't know when. But uncontrollable spending with $6 trillion, And then when you're listening to the debate last night, my gosh, the trillions of more dollars they want to spend for the infrastructure. And I'm sorry, I mean, don't get me started.
I've known individuals personally who were going under. So they maxed their credit cards out, got all the stuff they could get, knowing they couldn't pay it back, and they also knew that the people couldn't collect it.
Sure.
So they got a lot of stuff basically for free. And a lot of people say, well, credit cards, well, they basically knew they stole it. That's what they did. They charged it and knew they were going to pay for it and stole the goods. Now, you can call it anything you want to. It's called stealing. To do business that way that's dependent on profits. Nonetheless, they have seen
that.
That's
what government is doing to us. They're stealing from us.
Yes, that's true.
Stealing. So, now, but the uncontrollable spending truly is a sign that things are coming to an end.
I don't think
anybody could define $6 trillion as something that is extreme.
And that's a debt that we know of.
Well, yeah, that's just this year.
No. Yeah, that's just this year.
We're $30 trillion. I mean, unfunded liabilities. Heck, the CBO said how many years ago our unfunded liabilities was $200 trillion.
And how about the derivatives?
Yeah, let's throw those in.
More, maybe 100 trillion. Who knows? It's so big that you can't count it. Put it that way.
It's so big. It's not... You know, it's so huge, and it all works, but it comes to an end.
It does. And last night, we get ready to talk about the debacle. It wasn't a debate, it was a debacle. I'm telling you, in my opinion, not just my opinion, by the way, I went to the gym today. I was in where I exercise, and the trainer was talking to somebody else, and he said, did you watch the debate last night? And the guy I was talking to was also a Methodist preacher. He said I couldn't handle it. And the other guy said, well, it was really bad. And I looked at him and said, it's a national disgrace. But I mean, other people said the same thing. It was a insult to America, I guess you could say. It was how can you say it wasn't a hellish debate? It really was. It was nothing of significant there. Just name calling, and there may be more. But if it's going to be like this, what's the point? It said circus workers. Say that was an insult to circus workers, and they're the ones who work the circus. So, I don't know. I mean, 90 minutes of what? One saying I'm Democratic Party, and then the other one saying there's nothing smart about you, Joe. Don't ever use that word smart in me again. He needs to shush for a minute. Will you shut up, man? Now, by the way, Biden come out with a T-shirt today. You can look online. Will you shut up, man? I'm serious. There's someone online. And it goes on from there. I mean, this stupid bastard. I mean, come on. Is this what America has fallen to? Is this the kind of men we have that qualify to run for president and all they can do is insult each other?
You know, if you go back to the last election, you go back to some of those debates, and when you had, you know, the senators, the Marco Rubio, when he started to strike back with Trump in the same manner, it didn't work for him. For some odd, strange reason, it just seems to work for Trump. I think he blew it. I think this backfired on him. But then again, there might be people out there who think, oh no, he was strong. I don't think so. I'd like to hear from listeners if they thought that he was a strong candidate and that we just can't. And I get our problem. We have a problem.
Yeah.
Who carries on?
I agree. I totally agree.
I mean, this is even worse than the last election.
Now, I only watched about 10 minutes of it, and I really wanted to watch it. I really, really, really did.
I watched the whole thing.
I could not do it. I told Marsha, I can't stand this. I mean, shouts and insults, interruptions, and thoughts going nowhere, and just kind of babbling along. What kind of debate was that?
Well, it really was. It really was a sad showing, sad representation of this country for both sides, a sad representation of both parties. And again, ladies and gentlemen, this is where we're at. This is where we're at. Well, and it's just added fuel to the other side. As I don't, I just, you know, I try to analyze what would cause President Trump to behave. I mean, we all know that he was out to get Biden to stumble. And I even see comments that Rush Limbaugh blamed the commentator for Trump's behavior. And it's just like, the only thing I could think that President Trump acted that way is he has in his mind, there's three debates, and he has an agenda for each one. I can't think of anything else. I just, the behavior, Butch. I mean, how many times have people said that supported President Trump, I just wish he'd keep his mouth shut and not say anything, quit tweeting. I don't know what you say now.
Well, I guess it's, Canada may get a population boom.
But yet he still is able to throw out sentences or two that strikes us constitutionalists, conservatives, at our hearts, because that's what we believe. We, you know, some of the things that he says, it's like, yeah, he's pointing out these issues. But few of them that were there last night, I get it.
I wonder how big the audience was. I have no idea. It was huge or small or mediocre. I don't know. I have not even actually watched the debate.
I don't think I saw they were still calculating, which amazes me. They're saying they're still calculating because they usually have it out, you know, within the hour of It said, let me see, presidential debate opener dropped sharply from 2016's record high in early numbers. ABC tops nets in first showdown. So, I don't know.
Well, how
I think
do,
you
how
might, do, I don't know how long. I don't know if you have to watch the whole thing in order to be counted.
Well, how do you know you watched it? That's a fair question, I think. I mean, how do they know you watched it?
I always wondered that, too. How do they figure
out? If they don't know what you watch on TV, how do they know you watch it?
Well, sure, they know.
Of course they do. People think about that also. But anyway, mm-hmm. That's a whole different topic. But Camden may think it's so because Google searches for move to Canada spike after presidential debate. The presidential debate may send people up north instead of a ballot box. Google searches for moving to Canada spiked after 2020 presidential debate between Trump and Biden. Queries for how to apply for Canadian citizenship were skyrocketed after an hour into the yelling match between the two men, peaking at about 10:30 p.m. The search was most popular in the state of Massachusetts, followed by Ohio and Michigan. How to move to Canada and move to Canada, CNDA, Canada, also experienced a surge in searches during the debacle of a debate, which was fraught with interruptions, unfinished points, and nasty attacks. Cheering you all on from this side of the border. You got this, one Twitter user wrote. So anyway, I mean, the world was laughing at us. But people are looking, record numbers wanting to go to Canada. I don't think being better up there, but maybe it's something.
But one thing I can think about in this next election, whoever becomes president, is they're not going to be able to do anything. I mean, the next president is going to be, I believe, a true lame duck presidency because there's just no money. They want to spend all these trillions of dollars on all this stuff, the Democrats. Where are they going to get the money? They can't even come together with a, you know, and trust me, it would be easy for them to find the money for $2.5 trillion stimulus package, they would do it in a heartbeat. Both sides. There is no more fiscal responsibility on the Republican side. So, you know, all their little green deals and all that kind of stuff that they want to spend trillions of dollars, the infrastructure spending should have been done a long time ago.
Yes, it should have. And it should have been done by some of the private sector who are allowed to profit a little bit. Yeah. I mean, literally. Yeah, not by government funding. But anyway.
But so, next presidency, who's going to be doing what? And I couldn't even believe they brought up the Affordable Care Act. I mean, why? You know? Anyway.
Well, the Republicans any consolation.
Failed the last 4 years to create anything.
They did.
To present anything.
They did. But some women are so taken by Biden's running mate, Kamala Harris, that they're actually going to do plastic surgery to look like her.
Oh, my God. Gosh.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. This is where we are, folks, in America today. America is on her downward spiral. I know I don't like to say it anymore than you'd like to hear it. But America is spiraling downward at a very rapid pace. And you had better be prepared spiritually, physically, financially, every other way, because America is going down. I pray that it, by the grace of God, only by the grace of God, that He give us some more time. But I don't see enough repentance in this land to make any difference. I really don't. So here we are again.
Now, and the more things like last night and the comments and so forth, it's only from the Republican side, it only makes the Democrat side look better. Because it's gonna be the same kind of anything but. Last time it was anything but Hillary. Now the other side is anything but Trump. So I don't know. And, you know, but you know what? You travel this country, all you see is Trump signs.
That's all I've seen. I have not seen one Biden sign. Not even a bumper sticker.
I made a comment to somebody today, and I was told, well, those who put Biden signs out are taken down by the Republicans. And I says, well,
okay.
It works the other side, too. I says, you can't.
I don't believe that for a minute.
I don't either.
But
if anybody was going to do it, it would be the Democrats taking down the Republicans.
I totally agree.
Yes.
Totally agree. But
the Republican would just put up a bigger sign.
Yeah, I agree on that. But that's where we are though, folks. It's sad. It doesn't change the fact that it's true though. But it is sad. That's America today. That's the best we have to offer for that to choose between. So therefore, I refuse to choose between either one of them. You do what you do. You think best. I'm not going to. I can't. I cannot, in good conscience, especially as a Christian, support either one of those men. I just can't do it. Now, we get back about ready to go to break, and we'll get into some other topics if you want to, Melody.
Yeah, we're about ready to go to break. And so anyway, it was an interesting evening. And, yeah, what's our phone number, Butch?
800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. Our phone number here, I'm sorry. Okay. 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. Gee, I thought I was doing a commercial for you there. But anyway.
You can do that when we come back.
Okay.
And we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Butch?
Well, just a little thing about movie theaters. They're in jeopardy as studios move blockbuster 2021. So the audience are just staying home. It says 6 months after the pandemic restriction began, movie theaters are among the many businesses that do not have the clear path to recovery. There are no major big-budget Hollywood films set for theatrical release until the weekend before Thanksgiving. The audience remain hesitant to return to cinemas despite new safety protocols. So I guess the fear of this coronavirus has got them to the point that they won't go to movies. Now, to make another point on this, I think it's important, too, at this time, because I have here from the CDC now, not my opinion, it's the CDC, gives the percentage that people die and their age groups who die from COVID-19 after they get the disease or the virus. This is the percentage of those who die in their age groups. This is from CDC, not me. Anywhere from 0 to 19, if they catch COVID, they have a 99.997% of survival. 20 to 49, which is your category, they have a 99.98%.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Probability of survival. 50 to 69, 99.5%. Over 70, you still have a 94.6% chance of surviving COVID. Now, that's from CDC. So everybody's scared and panicked over this, and the chances they're dying of it are less than, at the highest one, less than 6%. Think about that, folks, and how to shut down the nation and the world over something that harmless in itself. Now, I'm not. That's from the CDC. Do with this what you think best. And Disneyland, Disney World, is laying off 28,000 employees.
Yes, I saw that.
At theme parks, 28,000. I mean, folks, that's 28,000. That would be a fair sized town, wouldn't it? Small city.
Well, my question is, what does Mickey Mouse go to work?
Oh, that's amazing. I'm reading this thinking it's 28,000 people.
That's a lot.
It is a lot of people. That's a lot of paychecks drying up. So there'll be some unemployment as long as that lasts. People that depend on this for a living, it's going to be nasty. And tomorrow, by the way, tomorrow is a deadline for the airlines. They expect as many as 40,000 layoffs tomorrow with the airlines. Tomorrow, American, United, and some others are expecting up to nearly 40,000 people to be laid off tomorrow, October 1st. We're looking at that, and we're seeing it happen, but it doesn't seem to register, Mel. It doesn't seem to sink in with the masses. That, I mean, let's face it, you and I are blessed. We are still eating. We got
Absolutely.
A place to sleep. We're paying our bills. Thank God for that. But if you're not working and can't pay your bills, I keep getting people to understand this. It's not you, perhaps, but your neighbor. We got to have some kind of sympathy and empathy for these people, because it could be us. It could be us. Any comments, Melody?
No. And again, I just think of, and you know, I do support in opening up these, you know, these economies. It's there is a fear out there. And I just saw something where I think President Trump overrode the CDC's decision to keep cruise lines closed. But yet we know one of the first Greece's first voyages of a cruise line, you know, they had to shut it down because so many contracted the virus. I just don't know what's going on, Butch.
If the CDC's numbers are right and they put them out, why are they so concerned?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's what I mean. There isn't anything that makes sense.
No, there isn't. And that's on purpose. That's on purpose.
It is.
People that are, you've heard that the Pavlov's dogs experiment. You've heard about that.
Absolutely.
Well, that's what it is. We're all sitting just standing there trembling. We know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you control people. That's working. It's working. So, any more comments on that?
No.
I think this next article is going to be interesting. Why New York City is in trouble? Now listen to this, folks. Listen to this. 114,041 public employees earn over $100,000 a year in New York City. Mayor Bill de Blasio is aggressively pushing for a $12.4 billion federal bailout because New York City faces an unprecedented $7 billion budget deficit over the next 2 years. Last week, in a public relations stunt, the mayor announced a week unpaid furlough of himself and 494 employees with his office, a taxpayer savings of $860,000. So how did the city get so deep into trouble? Now, this is, I know it's hard for us to believe this, but to say that local governments are not corrupt is insane. Our auditors at OpenTheBooks.com dug into the skyrocketing city payroll. In 2016, there were 76,166 employees with pay exceeding $100,000. But 2019, now pay attention, there were more than 114,000, a 50% increase in six-figure earnings in 3 years. Wow. In 2019, plumbers and helpers earned $172,988. Thermostat repairmen made $198,630. Regular laborers hauled away $213,169. Electricians lit up $253,132. And plumbers pocketed up to $286,245. School janitors, $256,000, out-earned principals of $154,000. Four deputy mayors made over $241,641 each, and 5,998 city employees out-earned New York Governor Andrew Cuomo at $178,000. The city has 331,520 full-time equivalent employees, up from 297,349 in 2014. However, 592,432 people have pulled a paycheck at some point last year at a total cost of $29.5 billion. This included base salary, overtime, and other pay, but not health care or pension benefits. These perks add 30% more. Melody, you can sustain that.
Only through creative financing.
Oh, wow.
Fuzzy math.
Yeah. I mean, how in the name of goodness can they sustain that? I mean, paying a common laborer $213,169.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with that picture. And we wonder why they're broke. That's called communism. That's called padding the budget. That's called corruption in local government, city and county, and I'm sure right off the line. But that's what it is. To spend almost $30 billion on 592,000 people, that's a lot of money spent, not counting benefits. Benefits had another 30%. So, there you go. New York's in trouble. New York right on itself. Any comments on that, Melody? I thought it's pretty powerful.
It is. It really is.
And stop and think that we do this for the city and the county and the state and federal governments are doing the same thing, basically. You know that.
Yes, I do.
And we wonder why we can't afford to pay the bills. Oh, well.
Promises, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And de Blasio is begging for over $12 billion to bail them out this year. And if they don't change their habits, guess what will happen again next year? So there's no fixing a problem until you take care of the solution that will fix it. It just doesn't work that way. You got a leak, you got to patch a leak. So anything else you want to add to that at all? I mean, I don't want to take up the program.
No, I think you're doing just fine.
I'm just looking at stuff in my, I'm scratching my head thinking, I don't remember making $213,000 digging ditches. I just don't get it. Anyway, this is a different topic, but kind of scary in the same way. This privacy of biometric data in DHS hands in doubt, Inspector General says. Apparently, the DHS, who does keep your biometric information and its office, you get that through your driver's license and other ways to do it with digital pictures and thumbprints and eye scans. Apparently, they lost control of 184,000 facial images that for people crossing the border. So 184,000 people, IDs out there somewhere floating through the ionosphere, and anybody could use that, guess, that wanted to. This is just coming across the U.S. border. Into Texas and the places from the southern border. That's a lot of people whose IDs have been stolen, Melody.
That is a lot.
And when you think about this,
yeah,
go ahead.
That we know about.
Yeah, exactly. But has it ever occurred to you that before we ever had to have an ID, no one could steal your ID?
Correct.
So, who do you trust? We were promised when myself and some friends fought the digital picture on our driver's license in West Virginia. By the way, we still haven't had the digital picture down. We've been able to control it on our end. A few of us have. Most people don't even understand what we're talking about. We were promised that those pictures would never leave the state. Then we're told, well, it'll go into the U.S. Then we found out it went worldwide. Interpol has every U.S. citizen's picture, digital picture, on their records for worldwide monitoring. I found out some years ago that the Super Bowl, they scanned the people's pictures, faces with cameras, and they found criminals in the audience. That sounds wonderful. And people who didn't pay the child support were found at Super Bowl. But that is common invasion of privacy for a lot of people that were there who didn't do anything wrong. Any comments on that one?
No.
So, if we go further than this, let me get into digital currencies and digital paydays. Do you see control taking over the nation's economy and everything about us?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's all about power and money, and along with that comes the control of the people in order to get what they want. It isn't, you know, and you can just see all of these things falling into place.
That's at a rapid pace. Rapidly.
You know, that's what We're blessed in so many ways, and I know the listeners are too, because we get to really see what's happening. And you can't carry on this conversation with too many people
you
know, or your family members.
No, you can't. They won't listen.
Or they just have different ideas. They might be a conservative. They might, you know, see some of the things, but they don't understand the big picture, and few do.
And
I know
says.
Our listeners, my clients, they're the smartest people, you know, in this country, because they
agree.
See the big picture.
That's why they protect themselves, because one day, you know, they'll buy or sell without all this information, all these IDs. And now, in the same direction, Amazon introduces ability to pay with your hands. Amazon unveiled its own palm recognition technology known as Amazon One. Instead of facial scans, use your palm now. Instead of using a credit card or smartphone to pay for goods, Amazon wants you to use your hands. In a blog post, the company unveiled its own palm recognition technology known as Amazon One. The technology, first rolling out in Amazon's home market of Seattle, will use people's palms to ID them and combine that with details of the palm, such as lines and ridges, to build a palm signature and an address provided on Amazon. So it goes on to talk about whether you can find this. So you're going to have your own palm signature, unique signature, your unique biometrics, again, given to you by your God only, to be used only between you and Him. It's not going to be used to control you, but it's so convenient, you can pay with your palm. Don't need a credit card, don't need a debit card, don't even a smartphone. Just use your hand. Now, I believe one of the ways to take the mark of the beast is going to be in the hand. I believe the Bible does say that. That's one way. There's three different ways. So, people, please listen. This is all about finances. The mark of the beast is all about commercialism. You can't buy or sell without it. It's a commercial mark. If you're going to survive through these times ahead when all this stuff's coming down, you better make sure you're ready to do it with everything you need to survive on your own for a while. Maybe quite a while. Now, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to tell you. This is really happening. What do you think, Melody?
It is happening. And it's just speeding up faster and faster.
Yes.
I had a conversation with somebody, Butch, the other day about it just always amazes me how some do see so clearly what's going on and others are still so clouded with what they see. And it's just, it truly is amazing. And it shouldn't bring division. That's not what's dividing us.
No.
I mean, that should help us unite a little bit more as we try to help other people understand and see what we see. Maybe we're teaching the wrong thing. I don't know.
No, I think we're teaching the right thing. People have a hard time grasping the idea that this could actually happen and shouldn't concern them anyway. Yeah. And this is fulfilling Scripture in Revelation 13. The masses will do what they're told to do. They'll follow the mark of the beast system. Jesus. They'll do it because they don't want to know difference or don't care.
Yeah. But I do care we're out of time and wish we had another hour, but we don't. And so we'll have to just come back tomorrow. So please make sure that you do too. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.